I want to make sure I get these words from St. Paul correct. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Pretty straightforward. This wonderful, powerful, life-changing, life-saving message of Jesus Christ, his letter to the Romans, this community that he had not yet met, the only community that he wrote a letter to, that he was not the one who was the founder of it, that this group of Christians were already alive and thriving in the city of Rome, and he was going to come visit them, so to prepare, he wrote them a letter. And it's his most profound letter, his most theological dense and rich letter. His most clear exhortation and explanation of the life of a disciple. And this chapter 8, some would say, is the highlight of the letter, where he's giving us this battle that we're all in. In chapter 7, he had just talked about his own interior battle, that he knows the right thing to do, and no matter how desperately he wants to do it, so often he does the very thing he hates. He says, it's like a war within my members. But then we have this beautiful passage today. This, we can say, the kingdom of the flesh versus the kingdom of the spirit. And we have a choice on which one we want to live under. The last few weeks, Jesus in the gospel has been giving us the cost of discipleship. Are you really willing and ready to pay the price to be a disciple? And so maybe we can look at what Paul says, if you don't, you'll die. So let's be ready to pay the price of discipleship. Which kingdom will we live under? Under which banner will we bend our knee? For whom will we live? Or for whom will we die? The readings today talk about the kingship of Jesus Christ. That first reading from the prophet Zechariah, written after the Babylonian exile. You know, it's always good to have the historical framework. So in the year 1000, David was king, and he had all the kingdoms together, all the tribes together. He died. Solomon became the king. At 950, when Solomon died, his son took over, and the kingdom split north and south. Ephraim to the north, Jerusalem to the south. And then 722, the Assyrians came and took the northern kingdom into slavery. 585, the Babylonians came and took the southern kingdom into slavery. So 585, the promised land was gone. The chosen people had no home, and their temple was destroyed. The place where God dwelled, lived, was no longer there. The glory cloud of God, the very presence in their midst, left the temple. There was no longer the King of David reigning. Who they were, their identity and their purpose was shaken. It was in that situation where they had lost everything. The Lord tells us through Zechariah to rejoice. Doesn't make any sense in the natural sphere. And when St. Paul is writing most of his letters, he's in jail. And the Philippians telling us the same word, rejoice. While he's lost everything and he's imprisoned, rejoice. How does this make sense? And he says, your king will come. Rejoice. It's bad now. It appears that you've lost everything, but rejoice, because your king will come. And how will your king come? Riding on a donkey. Usually the kings were going to ride in on a horse, the symbol of power and domination. But your king's coming on a donkey, which would remind them of how Solomon rode in when he took over for King David on a donkey. So now there's no king of David on the throne. The prophet's saying the Davidic kingdom will be restored in the very same way that it continued after King David. So all of these images are in our minds today. But this Davidic kingdom, the promise that God gave David that his reign would last forever. And this is the passage we hear during Holy Week. When Jesus rides in on Palm Sunday on the donkey, it's this same fulfillment of the prophecy 600 years later. This kingdom will come. Not the kingdom of power and domination, but the kingdom of humility, which is what Jesus says today. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Jesus Christ is claiming that kingship which was prophesied in 600 years before him. And in this gospel passage, he had just gone and done all these miraculous works, proclaimed and preached wonderfully about the kingdom of God, and his very own people turned their backs on him. The very same people who were learned, who studied the scriptures, who knew the prophecies, rejected Jesus. And this is when we have this wonderful prayer today. Like, we get to know what the Father and the Son talk about. When we hear about the Trinity, and sometimes we can get lost in the theology behind all of these things, we have this simple conversation between the Son and the Father. This man, the Son, had just been rejected by his very own people. And what does he say? I give praise to you, Father. They were enslaved and lost everything. And the prophet says, rejoice. St. Paul is in prison writing to the Christians saying, rejoice. Jesus is rejected and he says, I praise you, Father. When we choose to subject ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, under what circumstances are we waiting to give praise to Father? Are we waiting for that day when things are perfect? When there's no reason to fear in the streets, there's no anxiety, there's no sickness, there's no trouble in my marriage, my kids are all perfect? What situation am I waiting for to praise the Father? When we submit to the Lordship of Christ, everything changes. I give praise to you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the learned. You've hidden the things from the people who have been studying and should know. But we know sometimes when we study, we get arrogant. We know when we study, we become know-it-all, and we no one can tell us anything. And what we want, we get. That's what happened to the Pharisees and the scribes. But he said, no, you revealed it to the little ones. The word there is infant. And what that word means is the one who cannot speak. The one who has no words. An infant has no words. An infant simply imitates the voice of their parents. When we're called to become children, that only the children inherit the kingdom, it's because we have no words of our own. We become so possessed by the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we speak only the one word of Jesus Christ. And to these little ones has the kingdom been revealed. So come to me, all you who are labored and find life burdensome. Come to me, all of you, and I will give you rest. It doesn't make sense. The plans you had may not be coming through the way you imagined them. Everything might seem to be destroyed and going the wrong way. Come to me, and I will give you rest. This is the surrender, the childlike, the infant-like surrender a disciple must do so that we can live in Christ. So that he can give us his rest. The rest which we go back to Genesis after creation, the Sabbath, when God the Father created everything and had a day to enjoy the fecundity, the fruitfulness of his work. We labor so tirelessly for nothing in the world, and we have no time to enjoy it, no time to rest. Christ is saying today, reject that life. Come to me. Come to me and live, which is what St. Paul says. Jesus says, come to me and live in the Spirit. If not, then what St. Paul says is true. Choose my kingdom, Jesus says, or choose the kingdom of the world and the flesh, and you will die. We will all die a physical death, but the life in the Spirit, which allows us to rejoice in the most horrendous situations, which allows us to praise God when things seem to be going against everything that makes sense. Come to me and live. The challenge for us today, the opportunity for us today, is to say yes to Jesus' invitation, to submit to his yoke. His yoke, which is light and easy, and that he carries with us. Or we can choose the yoke of selfishness and vainglory and arrogance and pride and death. This is it. Come to me and live, or stay where you are and die. But when you come to me and live, you have life, which is joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, which is what we all want, which is why we work so tirelessly. But we don't have to work. We just have to go and rest in our Father's arms. Let's pray for that grace of surrender, to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to say no to the flesh and the powers of this world and the wiles of the devil, and say yes to life, yes to Jesus Christ. Amen.